This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Monday, and I'm Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 13th, episode 1817, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday. I'm dragging a little bit, Glenn. Are you?
Yeah, I'm dragging a little bit. I just got home last night from my road trip. And
yes, how was it?
It was fun. We had a great time. We had a good time in Southern Florida on Route 1. You know what I determined about Route 1 now? In case anybody
does. There's a lot of roadkill?
No, there wasn't a lot of roadkill, actually, because there's no animals on Route 1 that are wild. It's all just shopping malls and car dealerships, probably from all the way from Maine to the Key West. Route 1 goes that whole way. I think it's nothing but car dealerships and shopping malls and antique stores seem now to have invaded Route 1.
So. Gotcha. So was finding Florida not that successful then?
No, it was good. We found the animals along Route 1. There's a lot of places down there that deal with rescues and stuff, like turtles and alligators and things like that. So we had many stops, and it was a lot of fun to learn about all of that different stuff.
That's great, blah, blah, blah. Did you see Thor this weekend?
Yes, we did. Yeah, last night I went to see it with Jennifer.
I need to talk to Jennifer. Jennifer, are you here? Hello, Jennifer?
I am here.
Okay, was he shirtless at all? Did he take his shirt off?
Oh, that's so much more!
Really?
Did you hear the story of what he did to get ready for this role?
Listen, don't ruin it for me. He's a superhero, Glenn. I don't need to know how he got ready. He's like that all the time. Okay?
Well, you're going to be jealous about how he got ready. The last year to get ready for this, he's been eating 6,000 calories a day and working out 6 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh my gosh, he's so beautiful. That is why.
And it looked like it, by the way.
That is why, just so you guys know, you're safe, gentlemen listening, all four of you. Because let me tell you, ladies, a secret that if you want to date a guy that looks like that, that's what you deal with.
Exactly.
Okay. There was a hot, crazy hot guy in Atlanta that asked me out. And I was like, ooh, okay. Like, asked me for my phone number. And he was beautiful. I'm sure he still is beautiful. I mean, beautiful, but like Thor-esque abs.
Like sculptured beautiful, right?
Sculptured beautiful. I met him because he was in a calendar. Then I was promoting the calendar thing. Yeah, totally one of those. I was on the radio. He was a guy in a calendar. He's like Mr. January. And I'm like, I'm going to go out Mr. January. So Mr. January, he's like, hey, can I give you a call? I'm like, hell yeah, here's my number, baby. And so he calls me. And you know what he talks about? Working out.
and eating lots of, eating like, 6,000 calories a day, which you can't do.
Oh, Glenn, no, it's not 6,000 calories a day for him. It was chicken breasts. So he'd be like, oh, yeah, well, we can go. Let's go to a movie as long as I can take a chicken breast into the movie. And then we can go out to dinner afterwards. But I got to find a place that has a really good chicken because I have to have a chicken breast. And then, so I'm like, tell me about yourself. He's like, well, I wake up in the morning at 6 a.m. and I have a chicken breast. And then I go in and I work out for about 2 hours. And then I get off and then I go to work. But when I'm working, I'm like under my desk, I'm doing ab crunches, and then I have to have a chicken breast at 10 a.m. and then at noon, then I get to go out and run during lunch because then I have to have a chicken breast before and after, and then I come home and I'm like, oh my god, I am not going out with you ever. And you know what I think now? Every time I see a guy that's really built, I'm like, ooh, he eats a lot of chicken breasts.
You know, the other thing, have you seen the movie yet? You haven't obviously seen it yet.
No, I'm dying to. And that's why I was going to ask you about it, because we want to go. But
apparently,
like
70% of this movie, the director let him ad lib it. They knew what the point they had to get across in the scene, but they let him ad lib it. And let me tell you what, this was one of the funniest Marvel movies yet. He is really good as a comedic actor, which a lot of people don't realize, but he is really good at as a comedic actor. And you could tell that this was not totally scripted, because it just came across more natural. And, you know, in between blowing up worlds and CGI.
Do you guys remember the new Vacation movie that came out? And
Clark Griswold's a long time ago?
Son. No, it came out like 2 years ago a year ago.
Okay.
Well, Thor is in that movie, and he is absolutely so funny in it that you will realize he's a character actor, and he's mostly naked for most of that movie. So it is worth seeing.
I think that's in his contract for every movie, right? They say, and you have to be naked for most of the movie.
If anybody watches the show This Is Us, there's an actor on that they're always like, okay, let's film the scene with your shirt off. And I think of him, he must be channeling Thor like during that to have that this is okay, scenes with the shirt off, let's go, let's film it. So he's like, it's a serious scene, my dad just died. They're like, take your shirt off.
I gotta tell you though, the Cate Blanchett plays the bad guy and bad girl in this case, and she was really good too. She was really good.
The phone book and make me cry.
Well, the fact that she was her character's costume was spray painted on didn't hurt.
Yeah, that didn't hurt either. And then there's a new girl that plays the Valkyrie that showed up in this one called Tessa Thompson. She's hot. She's for the guys. You have him. We had her. And then I will say this, and not giving away anything, Stan Lee always shows up in all these movies. He had the best role, don't you think, Jennifer, that he's ever had in a movie?
That was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was
okay,
hilarious.
So can I take a 4-year-old?
Oh, yeah. I don't see why not. Have you taken him to other Marvel movies?
The wrong person.
All right, have you taken him to other Marvel movies?
We started watching The Avengers. What's the one with Captain America?
Yeah.
And is that Avengers or is that? I can't know. I don't know. It was Avengers, Iron Man and Captain America. Yeah, okay. So we started watching that one last night.
Isn't any scarier than Transformers? Yeah.
Well, then they did the waterboarding torture on the guy, and I was like, okay, time to turn it off.
Yeah.
Let's go have
some. I mean, there's a lot of violence. It's Thor, and, and Cate Blanchett's destroying the world. So, there's always a world blowing up in Marvel movies. It's amazing there's any people or worlds left, actually, when you think about it.
I know. But, unfortunately, I bet they saved the day at the end. So we live to have another Earth. all right, Jennifer, tell us what's coming up on today's show while I'm going to Google pictures of Thor shirtless.
There you go. There may be buns in that movie. Maybe. Today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition.
She didn't say whose buns, Jamie.
Auditor Terry Wheel's going to stop by.
We are moments from seeing Wiener with that guy. Okay? Moment. Showing a little more every movie. Sorry. Carry on.
You distracted Jennifer. She can't
Terry
do it
Wheel's going to stop by. And how do you follow things like Thor? Plus? I'm just going to, Just play the Winnie. Let's go.
We're going to have something on the show today. Something's coming up. My Daily Winnie goes out to all the early submitters. They're starting to come in now for Radiothon. We're going to play you another voicemail package from last year to get you in the mood. But we're starting to get some more clever ones now, people singing songs and things. So we need those by the end of the week. We're behind where we were last year, and I need a lot more. So please help me out and help us out. Help Radiothon out and get your entries in this week. Start working on... You know what I think it is? We're talking about this over the weekend with Jemmy as I was down doing that show with her. And we were out and about everywhere. I don't think people are in the Christmas spirit yet. I don't think they're in the mood yet. And I think that's part of the problem this year is, the weather's been weird I don't know. That's the impression we got as we're out and about. We didn't see people in the, getting into Christmas. The shopping malls were not full, which,
all you have to do to get in the Christmas spirit is go to Costco. Oh. I mean, if you want to feel Christmas.
They got it maxed out, huh?
Go to Costco.
But I mean, the shopping malls, we're 7 weeks away and the shopping malls were not full. We're a week away from Thanksgiving. That's next week, right? So, yeah, Anyway, so that's maybe that's it. But now you guys got to get. We're trying to help you here. Get into the spirit so you can get your voicemails in. $4,000 in prizes. You're definitely going to want to participate. Go to holidayradiothon.com.
Everything I buy is Amazon Smile. Like, it's just, it comes in 2 days. And speaking of Amazon Smile and needing to shop, I've been shopping for My Little Pony this weekend. I had my first driving lesson.
Oh, that pony. I was thinking My Little Pony. I was going, what's she shopping for My Little Ponies for?
No, not that My Little Pony. My actual live
My Little Pony.
Because there is a reason that driving bits were invented. Regular bits don't work. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So because you know what? You don't got legs.
No, you don't got legs. And that's the other part is I had to buy. Okay. So like my life is spent not using whips.
Right.
I had to buy a driving whip.
Which you only use because it has a tassel on the end that you can touch him on the side with.
Exactly. No, I'm not going to be beating my pony here.
But I mean, that's the only reason you use a driving whip.
She's like, you have no legs. She goes, if you ask your horse to move over, you use your inside leg. She's like, that's what the whip is for. And it just seems so bizarre to me to think about using a whip. And so she's like, okay, hold the whip in your hands with the reins.
Oh, that's the hardest thing to learn how to do.
I can't do it. So I
took me a long time.
I thought it was like hook up the pony and drive. So it turns out I hired a girl. She lives in the neighborhood. And I don't think I realized, I knew she was kind of like a big deal in the driving world. I didn't realize she was that big of a deal when I asked her how many world champions she's actually won. And she couldn't tell me because she didn't know.
Her Tammy. So,
her name is Jessie Dales, and even our listeners recognized her. A couple mini listeners recognized. They're like, oh, that has to be one of the Dales because they're very tall, but they're also...
Yeah, she is tall, isn't she? Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's 6'4". She's all over the mini world. And I said, is it funny that you're 6'4 and you drive minis?
Exactly. I was thinking that.
And I want to ride, you know, 17 hand horses. I'm like, maybe we're just making up for something, whatever. So she's helping me, but there's a lot more than I just thought. It was like hook up the pony, desensitizer, hook her up, driver. Yeah, it's like way
even
more
putting
than
the
that.
Harness on and getting adjusted's a pain. It's just,
oh, she did that.
Yeah.
She's like, have you even taken this harness out of the bag? I'm like, no, that's your job. I hired you for a reason. Now, this poor girl is a world champion mini driver, and I've got her taking my $150 harness apart and trying to put it together.
With your with your used cart they bought off of Craigslist.
Yeah, pretty much. And she's like, well, what? This is the kind of bit that I use. And she goes back. She's like, oh, never mind. That bit's $250. You don't need that one. I'm like, oh, thank God. So I went and bought her a harness. And I need a harness bag, apparently. And I bought...
I just throw mine in a trunk. I don't use a bag. I just throw it like a trunk.
Apparently, when you have 700 harnesses like she does, you have to keep them very organized.
Yes, yes. And they also are very picky about their harnesses look, whereas I don't even clean mine. So there's that.
Well, I didn't have to clean mine yet because it's brand new. I probably should oil it.
Did it fit, by the way?
So the bridle kind of needs a little bit of work, but everything else fit pretty well. Oh, well, she'll tell you, I did have to drill some holes in the crupper.
Yep.
Crupper?
Crupper, yep.
Crupper? Yeah. I never used one of those before. That was new. I didn't even know how to put that on. I don't know how to put anything on. I don't know where anything goes. And she's like, this is the bridle, this is the saddle, and this is the breast collar. I'm like, I got that. I can do that.
It's this part that goes behind it that I'm not sure about.
Yeah, it's all the other stuff. So, anyway, driving lessons continue. We're going to have her on maybe next Monday and have her chat about Magic Gallop Jennings and all her massive talent. She says to me, we're in the cross site. She goes, okay, so what's your goal? Are you considering doing shows? And I was like, what? I was like, you do see that I'm handing you a pony whose ass is 5 inches higher than its withers, right? My vet actually says that she's half mule. And she goes, okay, I'm just trying to figure out what your goals are. And she's like, how does she move? Is she fancy? And I was like, what? No. not enough. Like, whatever expectations you had for me having a pony, throw those out the window. This is all I want to do. I'm like, I want to hook this horse up like Grandpa Joe did in the 1700s and carry lumber to my neighbors. That's as fancy as this horse is going to get.
And it doesn't have to be fancy to go driving around the neighborhood.
I was quoted something that was half as cheap, but turns out I think she just doubled her price. I'm like, I thought it was half. No, okay.
Did she know you have a radio show before you did this?
She did not know that I had a radio show. And I've informed her of that because I tried to get her to come on today. And she's listening now. I mean, not right now, but she listens. She's like, there's something really funny you guys do on Fridays. It's you read Craigslist ads? She was like, that's funny.
Did you warn her that you might be talking about taking lessons with her on her? We should have everybody that comes into our lives should have to sign a disclaimer. I do understand.
I always said, if you don't want me to talk about it, you got to tell me. Otherwise, it's fair game.
Unless they don't know, and then it's fair game.
Yeah, that's true. I prefer not to tell people that I know that I do a radio show because I am talking about them. But I did have to tell her because I thought maybe you'd want to talk to her.
Yeah, and that'd be fun.
She's actually like, she started showing me these pictures and videos of these minis, and they're trotting. There's no chains on their feet. No, they're just barefoot minis, and they're trotting like in Piaf and Passage in these carts. I don't understand it. I'm not going to do it. It's not going to be a part of Precious Magic Al Jennings' life, but they're very fancy.
Yeah, usually we try and keep them on the ground, but yeah.
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 The knees are up under its jowls, you know, like, oh my God, amazing.
How does she fit? Mini carts are small, and her legs are like 12 feet long. How does she fit in the mini cart?
These are all questions you can ask.
I'm going to ask her because that is a tough one. Well, we have our first guest coming up.
She kept saying how my horse was huge. She's like, well, I mean, as big as she is. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, she's just, you know, I mean, her head is really big and then she's really tall. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. You deal with minis. Like, this is not big to me. This is the tiniest, pathetic little bless her heart pony I've ever owned.
All right, we have our first guest coming. I wanted to mention that I have to bug out of here in about 10 minutes to go to the doctor. So the only appointment I could get, of course, 10 o'clock this morning, because that's the way doctors are. So I will, Jennifer will take over for me when I head out. But you want to introduce our first guest?
Absolutely. This is our auditor, Carrie, and she posted something on Facebook in the auditor's room that I choked a little bit because most people don't take pictures fox hunting next to William Fox Pitt. What?
I know, right?
How is this happening?
Did you get his phone number?
Good morning.
Did you get his phone number?
I don't have his phone number. I could probably work on that. But the super short version of the story is he had a clinic that was canceled in New York. Why you cancel a clinic with William Fox Pitt? I don't know. I guess they couldn't fill it, which is kind of ridiculous. So anyway, he has some friends from England, Daisy and Richard Trayford, and he called them and he said, hey, I'm stuck in New York. I have a flight in on this day and I'm there for 3 days and a flight out on that day. And the clinic was canceled and I've got nothing to do. I'd really like to fox hunt somewhere in New York. You guys know of anything? And they said, well, funny story. We actually just moved to New York and we moved to the neighborhood where the oldest fox hunt in the country is, Genesee Valley Hunt. And we will pick you up at the airport, fly in here, and we'll take you hunting. And he said, okay, cool. And so they contacted the huntsman and said, hey, are you willing to do this? And she said, yeah, that would be great. And she said, you know, do you think he'd teach while he was here? Oh, well, I don't know. We can ask him. They said, do you want to teach while you're here? Yeah, sure, whatever. So I get this text, hey, William Fox Pitt is coming. Do you want some lessons? And I sort of texted back and I said, sorry?
What?
Well, here's the deal. This clinic was canceled. He's coming. You know, are you interested? And I said, yeah. They said, do you think we can fill it? I said, if you can't fill it, I will fill it myself personally with my horses and my clients. So they said, okay, great. We'll set it up. And I said, okay, fine. So they sort of said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I've got event horses. I've got a Grand Prix dressage horse. I've got fox hunting clients. I've sort of got whatever you want. And they said, okay, well, we'll come to your place. We'll do a couple lessons. We'll take him hunting in the afternoon. we'll do a hunt breakfast, and then we'll have him teach on a cross country course the next day. I'm like, okay, done, sold. So he showed up here, and I had a private lesson on my Grand Prix horse, which I, you know, I wasn't, obviously he's an incredibly accomplished dressage rider, but you know, does he know about Piaf and Passage? Who knows? And I contacted a friend of mine and I said, what do you think? And he said, well, I don't see how it can be bad. And I said, okay, sold. Yeah. Good point. So it was great. He was great with that horse. And then I jumped a novice horse with him. And then I jumped an intermediate horse with him. And then we went hunting that afternoon with the Genesee Valley Hunt. And a friend of mine, a client of mine, her husband, Paul Roebuck, comes in and takes pictures. And so he caught that picture. I was only behind William for about 3 minutes in the hunt, but he caught that picture. I'm like, oh, this is a great picture. I'm going to have to post this everywhere.
Or, oh my gosh, that's the kind that you blow up and you get made into canvas and you put it like in your living room as a centerpiece. Okay.
Right.
That was
life
awesome.
Size. Yeah.
So let's talk.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, keep going. So you hunted, go ahead.
So we took him out hunting and he rode one of Richard and Daisy Trayford's horses, a 5-year-old, and hunted. And it was crazy muddy. And it was a great hunt. I think we put 4 fox to ground or something, you know, an amazing hunt. And, you know, we had breakfast, quote unquote. Breakfast.
No, wait, hold on. How did he ride? Was he able to ride? Okay. Did he keep up with you guys?
You know, he seemed to do okay. He seemed to stay on. That's fine.
He looked so huge on that horse in that picture too, Carrie. He looked so big on that horse.
Yeah, he does. It wasn't a huge horse, but he obviously he had a grin on his face the whole time. I mean, how can you not? You're fox hunting in the Genesee Valley. You're covered in mud. You've jumped 1,000 coops. You've seen fox. You're not teaching, more importantly.
You're just having fun. Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he had a great time hunting, and you know, he came to the breakfast just like any other member of the hunt field would, and you know, had conversations with everybody, and he's very down to earth, and he's very kind, and just a regular kind of guy. And then the next day, he taught on the Genesee Valley Hunt horse trials course, and he did a couple of groups. He did a beginner novice group, a novice group, a training group, and then he did a fox hunters group. So he took a bunch of the fox hunters out, you know, people who don't really event, and just played with them and did coops and jumps and banks and water and all kinds of fun stuff on that day. And then ended up flying out. I think he went to Wisconsin. And then I actually ended up driving to West Virginia on Thursday to ride with him again at Sharon White's. And that had been planned for months. So the fact that he actually came here and was standing in my indoor arena giving me lessons was a bonus. So I just got back from West Virginia and riding with him there, where we did more cross country and more show jumping stuff. And again, just a kind, down to earth kind of guy.
Really? So he's just super nice and not pretentious. Yep. And not like I'm an Olympian.
No,
I'm amazing.
Not at all. He was talking to me about using double reins on the bit that I had on my horse. And he said, you know, on chilly morning, I had double reins on that horse. And the first third of the course, I went out on the top rein. And the middle of the course, I went out on both reins. And then by the end of the course, I was on the bottom rein. And, you know, he was just telling me, you know, you just have to go with what the horse needs, you know, just common sense. I mean, you know, it was impressive. He's just a kind, down to earth guy with a incredible knowledge and, you know, just information to share, which is always, always nice.
So a lot of these guys that are amazing and girls that are amazing riders have a really hard time communicating what they can do. So he's an amazing rider. Does he communicate that well? Does he teach well?
He does. I don't feel like he tried to micromanage. You know, I think the hardest thing about a clinic is a lot of times, you know, the clinicians have no idea who you are or what you've done. They can only take your word for what you've told them in the first 3 minutes kind of thing. And I think clinicians end up doing a lot of exercises as opposed to more, you know, really detailed things. With the Grand Prix horse and the other intermediate horse that had private lessons on, he was able to get a little bit more in depth. But, you know, the stuff that we did at Sharon's was more exercises, but very good exercises. And hey, you know, when you canter through the water, you need to make sure that your horse is taking as many steps through the water and in as short coupled as it possibly can be, as opposed to, you know, running through the water and letting them be strung out. So you do a face plant, you know, on the bank out kind of thing.
Right.
So it was educational in that he was able to say, okay, this is the exercise that we're going to do here. And everybody come through and do the exercise. And okay, you did it really well. And you need to go a little bit slower and you need to go a little bit quicker. And, you know, obviously you can learn from the other people in the clinic as well. Absolutely. And that's valuable information.
That's great. So how did he do with your Grand Prix dressage horse?
It was pretty cool. It was pretty neat. So I sort of fell upon this horse by accident. I am an event rider, a professional event rider. And the super short version is this horse sort of came into my life by accident. And I had a naughty gray horse that I'd taken through pre-St. George. That was an event horse that hated dressage. So I made him go to every dressage show and started working on my medals for the USDF stuff. So I ended up with this Grand Prix horse and finished my gold medal a couple of months ago. And, you know, when you have somebody like William Fox Pitt standing in your arena, how do you not ride every horse you can get your hands on with them? I mean, you know, he's going to improve me no matter what, because I'm me and he's him. So,
right.
yeah. Very, very good. Very worth it. You know, you need to be more forward and your half pass needs to be a little bit steeper and, you know, you need a little bit more angle here and your changes could be a little crisper. And, you know, did he help me a ton with a Piaf and Passage? No, but we didn't really work on that. And that's fine. The basic stuff, obviously he's very good at, obviously he's very good on the flat. So, and I think he enjoyed it. I think that was something a little bit different for him too. I don't think he sees that a lot.
He probably sees a lot of off the track thoroughbreds that have been ridden for about a year, you know, and they're all kind of probably the same problem. So yeah, how fun that was for a weekend for him to go out and fox hunt and teach clinic to hunters and to go out and have Grand Prix dressage horses and do all that. What fun.
Yeah. So he says he's going to come back. We said, now, can we get this in writing? You're sure you'll come back? Oh yeah. I'll come back next year. So we were teasing him. We do the Genesee Valley Hunt has the oldest point to point in the country. And it's a real point to point. It's not a steeplechase race. And he was asking about that and we were telling him about it. And he actually wasn't able to stay for it. So he asked me in Virginia, he said, how did it go? I said, well, you see the laceration on my nose and the black eye? I said, it was great. And he said, oh no. He said something to the effect of, oh, you didn't finish. And I said, what do you mean I didn't finish? Of course I finished. But it's the last. Next year, you have to do the point to point with us. He said, okay, I'm in. So we'll see.
Oh my gosh. We'll tell me real quick then, because you guys know I'm a little bit of a newbie to stuff like that. What's a point to point? It sounds like just a steeplechase, but on your own kind of thing.
So what they do is, it was 138th running of the Genesee Valley Hunt point to point. And we call the answering service at noon and they say, you need to report to this year. We went to the Granger Farm. You need to report to the Granger Farm. You need to be there at 2:45. You need to be on your horse at 2:50. So those are the only instructions that we get. So we show up at the Granger Farm, we get on our horses and we get in a group. So I think there were 13 of us that were entered and I think only 8 showed up. And so they give us the rules and they say, we're going to read the directions twice. And then I say, go, and you go. So they give you 2 points. So we started at the Granger Farm. They gave us checkpoint is point A. And that was at the Rochester Stables, you know, the south side of the Rochester Stables. And there's a flag there and there's people there to record. So then point B was in the Aiken Woods, and then the finish line was in the Triangle Lot. So you have to know the hunt country well enough to get to those points fast enough without using the railroad bed, without using a road. You can cross a road, but you cannot go down the shoulder of a road. You can cross the railroad bed, but you cannot go straight down the railroad bed. So there's some rules like that. So, you know, they read those directions twice and they say go and you go. And I mean, it is flat out as fast as you possibly can to those checkpoints and then to the finish line. And usually, I mean, it's a full gallop. Usually it's sort of 7-ish miles. And, you know, the finish ride is usually somewhere sort of around 18 or 19 minutes. But it's pretty exciting. And you have to know the land. Obviously, if you don't know the land very, very well, then you're not going to be the fastest. So a lot of times you follow, there's a couple of key people that you know, the huntsman who grew up there and now hunts the hound, obviously knows everything. And then there's a couple of whippers in that also do it. So if you're smart, you follow those people because they know the fastest route, the shortest route. And you follow those people. And then if you're really, really naughty, you overtake them at the end.
It's the only time in your life you're allowed to pass those guys. So take advantage.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So it's a ton of fun. It's usually we have a few casualties and the policemen and the ambulance are at the start with us because it can be a little bit more exciting than it probably should be sometimes. We have a great time, and there were more than a few of us that crossed the finish line with blood on our faces and mud everywhere. And I think everybody finished this year. Last year we had a couple of incidents with somebody that tried to run through a wire fence. They didn't see it, and their horse didn't see it, and her horse slipped over it. Horse was fine. She was fine, but obviously she didn't finish. So then we just pick up our cell phones and call the start and just say, hey, we're at such and such and we're withdrawing, so that they don't send a search team out to look for us.
Man down. Unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds so exciting. Yeah. I don't know what's more exciting, that story or the William Fox Pitt story. It's kind of both. I kind of like
it. Well, it was all in the same week. So there you go.
That's amazing. What a heck of a week. Carrie, I'm so glad that you came on to tell us about this. And I cannot wait to hear more about your adventures with William Fox Pitt. So on a scale of 1 to 10, like, so sometimes I think of clinicians and I get nervous about going to a clinician because sometimes they don't take the time to get to know you and know your horse and know, like, I've been overfaced in clinics before, but then I'm like, well, the clinician's telling me to do it. I should do it. Then I get myself in trouble. So how do you think he read all the people and trained all the people? Good. Would you recommend it?
Very well. Yes. And I agree with you. A lot of times you get into a clinic situation and it's not good and it doesn't end well. And you've paid a lot of money to be there and ride with a big name. And now you're dealing with a confidence issue because, you know, they said, oh, no, it'll be fine. Jump this preliminary bank on your beginner novice horse.
Right.
And he wasn't like that at all. He was great. He just kept saying, look, if you're not comfortable doing something, don't do it. It's fine. But his big quote of the weekend was, well, just get on with it. Just get on with it. You know, if you did something and you messed up, he'd say, it's fine. Just get on with it. You know, just carry on. Don't worry about it. Mistakes happen. And he said that I make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. Everybody's going to make mistakes. Just get on with it.
Gotcha.
So, you know, he's not much dwelling. Oh, that spot wasn't perfect. You really should have done this, that, or the other thing. You know, he's not like that at all. So it was a nice relief to not feel like, oh, Jesus, I don't jump this bank, this person's going to think I'm an idiot. Well, that person probably doesn't know who you are tomorrow anyway, so I wouldn't worry about it. But no, very, very kind. If you're not comfortable doing this, don't do it. If you think it's too much for your horse, don't do it. You're the rider. You know your horse. This is the decision that you need to make. You need to make good choices. So yeah, it was great.
All right, Carrie, thank you so much. I'm so excited. Post some more pictures. We love hearing from you. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about it.
Great. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
She's so cool. That's so exciting.
She's my new hero.
Right?
Wow.
I would like to have her as my new best friend.
That point-to-point thing. That's crazy.
Have you ever done that?
I have never done. That's a real honest to goodness dyed in the wool point-to-point. I've ridden in schooling timber races and schooling steeplechase, things like that, where you go and practice just for hoots and giggles. But I didn't know they actually still had real point-to-points. That's just bonkers.
That is, it was amazing. I bet Dr. Chang has done it before.
I'll bet he has.
Let's talk to him. Good morning, Dr. Chang.
Good morning. I wouldn't put money on that one if I were you. about me doing a point-to-point. That sounds way above my pay grade right now.
You and me both, and I ride. So actually, I should ask you, do all this stuff for horses? Do you ride?
I do not ride. And I'll tell you, I did ride once. Where was I? I was in the Dominican Republic, and there was riding in my package. So I went riding, and I will tell you, I was the happiest camper to get off the horse after an hour, because if I didn't get off the horse after that hour, my voice would be probably 2 octaves higher today as we speak.
Yeah. Nobody told you to wear tighty whities, huh? That sounds...
Nobody told me to go up when the horse was going up and come down when the horse was coming down, as opposed to coming down when the horse was coming up. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It got to be a little bit painful after a while.
Unbelievable. Well, so does anybody in your family ride? Does anybody love horses?
Actually, my son does ride, right? But he's too busy these days. So he hasn't ridden in a long time now, but he's the one in the family that has a passion for this, for riding, you know.
Well, so how did
I come
you...
from it? From...
Yeah, go ahead.
Get into this?
Yeah.
I came to this by the back door, I would say. What happened? I was sitting in my office one day, and a fellow named John McLeod walked through my doors at my office and he says, Dr. Chang, would this stuff work on horses, right? Because we were primarily doing products for human use. And when he walked in, I sat down and I said, well, I don't see why not. The basic physiology is the same. The pharmacology, the biochemistry is the same. So all we have to do is to make sure to get enough of anything that you're giving them and to make sure it works. As I say to everybody, we did not invent herbals for horses. But what we did was we were able to do a better product for the horses.
Mm-hmm.
All right? In the sense where I said better product, it was more efficacious because we did a lot more liquid herbs as opposed to just taking the herb and grinding it up into powder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I use my coffee analogy when I talk about that because and people don't realize how important the liquid aspect is because... For example, if you had a cup of coffee in the morning, 10 minutes later, you get the buzz from the caffeine or the hit from the caffeine. If you were to take that same scoop of coffee grounds that they used to make that coffee, and I said to you, here, drink, eat this, you'd never get it, right? And the reason you never get the hit is because your body has to digest out the active ingredient and then absorb it. But it doesn't, the digestive process is not very rapid. And so you never get a high enough dose going through your system. Whereas what we do, we just basically extract the herbs and voila, you know, we have all the actives and then all the body has to do is to absorb it. And we're very good at absorbing things, you know?
Wow.
So that's how I came upon this side of the fence, you know? But, you know, when people think about it, horses, people, dogs and cats, we're all mammals. The physiology is the same. The basic biochemistry is the same, right? Because we all absorb food by breaking it down to its individual components like amino acid, simple sugars, fatty acids, right? So, you know, it's the same basic digestive process too. And the biochemistry and the physiology is roughly the same.
Well, I know too from my days of a technician, a lot of the horse medications that your veterinarian would prescribe are the same as the humans use. So there is a lot of a crossover between horses and humans in the medical world and the herbal world.
That's right. Actually, all medications that they use for horses have been used on humans before. And you know, it may have started up in the testing on maybe dogs and cats, etc., and then it migrated. Then it got approved for human use, and then from human use, you know, it got into the horse world and back into the veterinary world.
Right.
You know, so that's the basics of how it works. You know, so you know, there's, and again, it's based on the similarities. All you have to do is to make sure you have enough dosage. Dosage is so important.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I think we're supposed to talk a little bit about a product called Regenerec for us today.
Yes. And this is the liquid gold that you guys have invented, and it is absolutely one of the most impressive products for the gut and gastrointestinal health. So talk to us a little bit about Regenerec.
What this is great for, it's, you're right when I say it's good, because this is one of the products I have seen that works really quickly. I do know a lot of people who compete. They ship their horse from point A to point B. When they get to point B, if it's far enough or if the ride, if the shipping is stressful enough, what happens is the horse will not eat. Sometimes the horse will not eat for about 3 or 4 days. And that's usually an indication of issues with the gastrointestinal tract. And what we find is that if we give this horse this Regenerec product, what happens is within about a day, this horse is back head into the feed bucket and just hoovering up everything as much as you can get. Now, for people who compete, etc., that's great, because if your horse isn't eating, it's losing weight. If it's losing weight, you know, it's not going to be at its best during competition. And right. How we believe this thing works is that it helps soothe the GI tract to the point where the horse is comfortable, right? Because horses usually don't eat because they have issues with the GI tract, gastrointestinal tract, right? We have actually done some studies with it where we looked at ulcers and we scoped it. So we took horses that we knew had ulcers, and we found that within about 2 weeks to 4 weeks, we see healing of these ulcers. Okay, and this is done by a veterinarian scoping it out, etc. You know, so we've had very good results with that. We've even seen issues like things like hindgut colonic ulcers, where we have actually data to show that when we give this to horses that have colonic ulcers, we actually see a normalization of the wall of the colon, the thickness of the wall, so indicating that is helping heal the colon, right? So we have some really good results with this.
And, amazing.
And it's one of the, and the nice part about this is that you can use this continuously without having to worry about things like acid production in the stomach, etc., because the ingredients in this product, what it does is that it heals by speeding up the healing process. So the components in there actually heal. So it's like what we're dealing with is more like a biologic. It's not strictly herbal, but it's more of a biologic. Right? And what we actually have that to show the healing process and so on going on. But we promote it as an appetite stimulant just because, you know, I think that's very important to people when they see, especially for competition horses, especially when they travel. And what we also find is if you give it to them before they travel, usually wherever they get to, on the other side, at the end of the trip, they're a lot happier. They will eat, no problem. Right. And this product was in development for over 5 years. So we're getting really good results with it.
Well, and it is one of the hardest things to do to diagnose and treat hindgut ulcers. So that's amazing that you guys have had so many studies show that that it's helping.
Yeah. We do see really good results with it. That's fantastic. And that is one of the products that we're most proud of, just because, you know, it's unique. We get very quick results with it.
Now, you guys can go see the products. You can find a store. That is the one thing that people always go, where can I get this stuff? You can go to omegaalphaequine.com/USA, and there's a store locator. And then you'll find a list of dealers, and you can put in your zip code and see where the dealer is near you. And if you can't find what you're looking for, you can call 1-877-436-1221. Ask for Claire, and she will help you find a dealer that you can purchase from. So if you are a tax store owner and you're like, I want to carry Omega Alpha Equine, you can go and you can call that same number. You can send the information to csmith@omegaalpha.ca, and they can make it happen. They also do teleseminars, and they're free. And the next one is November 27th. And the topic is insulin resistance and the endocrine system. And there's a Q&A after. Registering is easy. Call 1-800-651-3172. Ask for Joanne to get your web classroom address, your entry code, all that. OmegaAlphaEquine.com if you need more information. And Dr. Chang, as always, it is just so fun to talk to you. I was always wondering how you came into this. And now we all know. We've all learned a little bit more about Dr. Chang today.
Well, thank you for having me on, Jamie. And, we are going to be at the AAEP this weekend. So okay. I know you guys don't usually go there. That's the American Association of Equine Practitioners. So looking forward to see all the equine vets.
Where is it this year?
It's in San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio,
so
Texas.
To the great state of Texas.
So if you guys need your vet this week and you can't find them, that's where they are.
They're in
San Antonio.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Dr. Chang. Have a good one.
Bye, Dr. Chang.
Bye-bye, Jennifer. Bye, Jamie. Thank you.
Have a great trip.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's where your vet has to go to get continuing education, because they actually have to still continue to educate themselves. So yep. That's cool that Dr. Chang is going to be able to maybe present all of this information to the veterinarian.
Let's be honest, though. We've had vets on to tell us all about what they did at the AAEP. It's a party.
It is a party.
Yeah, it's a party.
It is a party for sure. I think it's part of it for sure. Great. Well, let's see. Let's play a song. Glenn is free. Listen. Glenn's gone. He had to go to the doctor. He got like a mosquito bite or something, you know.
Yeah.
but he's freaking out.
Yes.
And when he freaks out, he makes Jennifer freaked out. So I'm going to ask you guys a personal favor. If you want to win all the prizes and be in the running for all those prizes, you have got to send Glenn a voicemail. And he wants you to do songs, and he wants you to do this and do that. Just leave a freaking voicemail. So, I don't know, sing a Christmas carol and put the word horse in it. You know, you
That's
don't have
care
to
about.
Get crazy.
Right. Please.
Just
please.
Do something. Even please. If it's just a voicemail to call in and you say, hey, I love your show. Or, hey, you guys suck. Merry Christmas. You know, anything like that. This is the worst crap I've ever downloaded on my phone. I'm never listening again. And have a happy holidays. That will get in. You will make it.
There we go.
All you have to do is that.
That's it.
I don't recommend it. Glenn might cut that part out, but whatever. What's the voicemail number, Jennifer?
You're asking me what the voicemail number is? Let me look up. Let me look on holidayradiothon.com, because that's where it is.
I just was looking through the show notes and I almost gave out Carrie, our guest.
We don't want
Carrie
to do
Will's
that,
phone
no.
number. No,
let's
I don't.
See, it's at holidayradiothon.com.
Yeah, there you go. Holidayradiothon.com. For crying out loud, just go to the website. Okay, so we're going to play some voicemails from last year, and we'll be right back.
All righty.
Teenage social media drama.
Woohoo! Come on, play.
You have reached the Horse Radio Network voicemail line. Please leave your voicemail after the tone.
It's Amanda from horselovers.com, and my favorite holiday food is my grandma's cookies. We even bake them together sometimes. Enjoy these voicemails brought to you by horselovers.com.
This is the Johnson Family Christmas contribution to the 2016 HRN Radiothon.
You've heard Philip and Wendy, sometimes Coach Jen, Debbie, Helena, let's not forget Glenn. But do you recall the most famous show host of all? Hedwig the Pomeranian from the Healthy Critter Show tackles all the tough questions Jamie Jennings doesn't know. All of the hosts adore her, even with a funny name. Hedwig the Pomeranian joins in all the HRN games. Then one frosty Christmas Eve, Glenn came home to see The host had wrapped his gifts in gold underneath the Christmas tree. Now Hedwig the Pomeranian is on the Healthy Critter Show. She'll answer all those vet questions Jamie Jenny's never knows. All of the hosts adore her as she yips and barks with glee. Hedwig the Pomeranian is making podcast history.
'Twas the night before Radiothon throughout the land. Listeners and auditors dream of the prizes to be had. With Glenn and Jamie providing stories of their ponies, they gave us much laughter and tears throughout the year. We all have fancy rides. We listen to Horses in the Morning. God bless and have a Merry Christmas.
Good morning, Horses in the Morning crew. Glenn, Jamie, and Jen. This is Carol Carter in North Carolina, and I'm calling with my fantasy ride. It isn't a specific horse, but for years I've always wanted to just say that I've jumped a 4-foot course. Unfortunately, I've had knee replacement and gotten older, and I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But that has been my fantasy, is to jump a 4-foot course.
Happy holidays, everybody, at Horses in the Morning. Thank you for having such a wonderful show. This is Alexandra Ireland, and my fantasy ride would definitely have to be Gem Twist.
Hi, Horse World. This is legacy listener Rhonda Crabtree. It was hard for me to decide which horse from history I'd like to have a ride on. First, I considered Big Ben, a Canadian superhero. But since I don't jump anymore, I thought about Dynasty, a great Canadian dressage horse. But then I finally settled on Mr. Ed.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
Who better to get a riding lesson from than a talking horse? Merry Christmas to all the hosts, auditors, and listeners of the Horse Radio Network from Canada.
Happy holidays, everyone. This is Casey. I'm an auditor for HRN, and I wrote a poem. Hooves are crunching through the fresh white snow. The air is turning white with each breath we blow. Bridles are jingling. Saddles creak. Through winter's silence, we slowly creep. Starlight shimmers through the tree. The moon lights the trail ahead. Grinning to myself, I think, I really should be in bed. Ahead, the trail widens into a large clearing. My horse walks on without me steering. My eyes are pointed skyward, my mouth agape. What is that? That funny, flying shape. Through the air, it seems to flutter. Quick and fluid movements, like a knife through butter. My mare tosses her head as the shape comes into view. The moonlight shines on Santa and his crew. I hear the bells jingle on the harnesses above, as 12 reindeer fly as high as any dove. Ho, 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 says Santa, as he waves to me below. Merry Christmas to all who listen to the Horses in the Morning show. I awoke with a start, tucked snug in my bed, and realized why visions of Santa and riding had danced through my head. My earphones were tied in a misshapen knot, wrapped in my hair and the necklace I just bought. Podcast after podcast, as I slept, HRN was playing, though I'm not sure what they were saying. With that, I end this poorly written note, as it's time to feed, and I need to find my coat. Happy holidays, everybody.
Merry Christmas and Happy Radiothon from Lindsay Helmuth, last year's Radiothon Grand Prize winner. My dream ride would be General Robert E. Lee's horse, Traveler. According to family legend, my grandfather's great-grandfather once held Traveler for General Lee outside of a tavern in Old Town, Virginia. I have always loved General Lee's descriptions of his special horse, and I think it would be amazing to get to meet and ride Traveler. I hope everyone at the Horse Radio Network and all of the Horse Radio Network auditors and listeners have a very wonderful Christmas and happy holidays.
Hi, Glenn, Jen, and Jamie. This is Rachel from Wisconsin, and I was calling with a song for Radiothon. Here we go. Sweeping down the aisles with a long-handled bristle broom, over the cracks I go, laughing all the way. Jamie, Glenn, and Jen, keeping spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to be in the barn on Radiothon night. Cleaning stalls, cleaning stalls, cleaning up the barn. With Glenn and Jen and Jamie too, it's chore time on the farm. Happy Radiothon!
All I want for Christmas is my own pony, with sparkly hooves underneath my tree. Gee, if I could only have my own pony, then I could wish you Merry Christmas. You know, last year you dropped the ball. You brought a doll with pretty shoes and curls. I flung it in the fireplace. Why can't you understand that I'm a horse girl? So all I want for Christmas is my own pony, a saddle too, and weather beat up, please. Gee, if I could only have my own pony, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
Horse Lovers is having a special holiday flash sale every day in the holidays. Two products available at amazing prices, and then they just disappear. Visit the site every day so you don't miss these brand name products at amazing holiday prices. Quantities are limited, so stop by often at horselovers.com/HRN. That's horselovers.com/HRN. Plus, horselovers.com is offering a special discount with purchase just for Radiothon listeners. Spend at least $49 with horselovers.com, enter HRN in the coupon code box at checkout, and get $5 off your next order instantly. This is an exclusive code just for HRN listeners. HRN in the coupon box at checkout at horselovers.com/HRN.
That coupon code's not working now, though.
Oh.
And now it's time for teenage social media drama.
Okay. So, like, last Thursday, my friends and I went out to get what I have literally been dreaming about my whole entire life. I got a new tattoo. It's a unicorn in between my shoulder blades. It's literally huge. But there are a few things wrong. I totally have to keep it covered up like forever. My mom is going to kill me if she sees it. Like, literally kill me. She always told me that I couldn't get a tattoo unless I was over 18 and living out of her house. But I just couldn't help it. And now in the healing process, I could literally rip my back off. It's so itchy. Arr! Has anyone got any tips on how to stop it itching before I go home? There you go. You can't make it up. You cannot make that up. The world is going to be a better place. Okay, we're going to call Leslie Wiley. Get her on here. How do you get a tattoo if you're not 18? I guess she probably has a fake ID. I'm not going to break down social media drama. I'm just going
to
read it and move on because I just,
that's a mistake.
I can't, that's my problem, Jennifer, is I'm trying to make sense of it. And I just can't.
You're not meant to know some things.
When I search for these, I get dumber as I look through social media. Thank God social media did not exist when I was a teenager. Oh, gosh. I can't even imagine. We didn't have internet. So, God, I'm old. Oh, you know what's funny now, Jennifer, is that I tell students that I didn't have a cell phone. Why didn't you have a cell phone? They don't know what life is like without a cell phone. I told Lucas, I said, you know, we used to have these and we'd have to be attached to a wall. And then I realized my mom used to be like, well, we didn't have TV. We had a radio. So it's like, how do we avoid? I don't know. I don't know how to not sound old.
Are you feeling old and out of touch, Jamie?
Yes, I'm like trying not to sound old. That's why I like reading social media drama, because maybe it makes me feel younger.
You feel relevant.
And smart.
Yes.
I feel relevant.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, let's get Leslie on here.
Are you here?
Good morning.
Yay!
Yeah, oh, she's here. Leslie, do you ever find yourself telling teenagers that you didn't have a cell phone when you were a kid because they didn't exist?
Get off my lawn. Kids.
Yeah. Darn kids. Let's see. Yeah. Jennifer, is there a way we can turn Leslie down a little bit? I feel like she's really loud. Probably not, huh?
No, she's in so, with all of us.
Okay, so Leslie, maybe just back off your mic just a little bit. As much as I love hearing you penetrate my eardrum, I just, whatever is awesome.
Is this any better? Hold on.
Yeah, that's great.
Is it? Okay. All right.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. So pretty here. The leaves are turning. There's a nip in the air.
And for those who don't know, you're in Tennessee. Has it snowed yet? When do you guys get snow?
We don't get too much snow. We might get some snow. Who knows? Who knows? A little bit.
I'm having an argument with my husband because he wants to take a vacation. God forbid he wants to take a vacation and it's going to interfere with me entering Galway Downs. So he wants to take a ski trip and he wants to go in January. But Galway, I'm taking Zeus to Galway. And let's see, that is, okay, you make sense of this for me. I want Galway Downs is the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, okay, in February. And he wants to take a ski trip in January. Like, I can't take a ski trip in January because I have to train because I'm going to Galway. And he's like, oh, my God, it's a horse trial. Like, who cares? And so then he goes, well, we have to go in January. I'm like, let's go in December. Let's take it. He has all this leave he has to use before he retires. So he has to go somewhere. So let's go in December. Babe, there's no snow in December. I said, yes, there is snow in December. Places it snows in December. He's like, January is the time you can guarantee snow. So all of our listeners that live in Colorado and ski places, it snows in December, right? Leslie, do you have any information on this?
I have no idea.
Sure,
yeah.
Somewhere in December. Somewhere.
It must.
Surely.
I need help.
Go to Russia. I'm sure it's snowing in December in St. Petersburg.
I'm sure that they would love an American military guy to come over to Russia and go skiing.
You're getting awfully fussy, aren't you? You just come on.
So
I don't know.
I do have a bone to pick with you, by the way.
Oh, and I would like to add on to that, just as a public service announcement, like check with us. We have our event calendars. I hate it. Like, so yesterday, my husband's birthday. Celebration. Also, River Glen. Couldn't do River Glen. Do you know when my sister scheduled her C-section to have a baby? On Friday during Rolex this past
year.
My sister got married during River Glen's like our local event. So it's just like, this is the one that I just always do. I don't know. It's just super rude. Super rude.
You know, I feel the same way because my dad, the second marriage of his was on Rolex weekend and he made me go. Like, I don't, first of all, I protest his marriage and I wore black sunglasses and all black in the wedding. And also it was Rolex weekend. So I was double pissed.
Yeah.
By the way, they got divorced. So what a waste of missing Rolex. Oh my God. And then you want to go skiing. And not only is it, they're scheduling things during those show weekends. It's like, we have to lead up to it. We can't just disappear before it. We have to practice. So you can't schedule anything a month before it.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. You can't.
How dare you have his birthday on River Glen weekend?
I know.
Total crap. Now, you have withdrawn yourself from No Stirrup November. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think I'm officially got the hall pass on that for the rest of my life.
Well, see, you got a letter. Actually, what would you call that? A doctor's note?
That
forgives you from No Stirrup November for forever because you were the one who rode stirrupless for 25 miles, whatever. Thank God for No Stirrup November because you were able to ride for 25 miles on a wild Mongolian pony in Mongolia in the Mongol Derby. Am I correct? Is that why you feel like you don't have to do this anymore?
ever again. Yeah, I think I just used up all of my like a lifetime's worth of No Syrup November in one, you know, however long, several hour stretch that was. Yeah.
One sitting, you could say, in one sitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk to us about it was amazing. That.
And I have a doctor's note, like an official, it's from Allison Bell Ball, who's a Horse Radio Network auditor and from the auditors group. And yeah, it's like a literal doctor's note. I think it's legit. I could take it to a pharmacy and like, not that pharmacies have stirrups, but.
Now, the reason I wanted to bring up No Stirrup November is because I feel like, first of all, you invented hashtag No Stirrup November. I feel like I'd never heard it until Horse Nation and your article came out and made it a thing. So I guess I really need some more closure on why you, the inventor of this, are not involved, because I am riding Precious Magic Gallop Jennings bareback and now jumping her. And I will video that today for you guys to see. So I feel like I'm going strong and you've left the building. So I really, to get closure, I need you to talk to us about your stirrup gate. I want you to break it down. What happened? How did it happen? And what it was like riding for 25 kilometers with no stirrups?
Yeah. Yeah. To recollect this special moment in my life, this was when I made the poor decision to dismount my horse, take off my raincoat, and the horse ran away forever. That was that day three of the Derby. So when it becomes apparent that, you know, they come, they pick me up, they bring me back to the horse station that I've just come from, I was about 10K out. And it becomes apparent that, you know, the horse is not coming back. The horse is long gone. And so is all of my stuff and my saddle and whatnot. So obviously there's still, you know, horses there at the horse station. And, coincidentally they had one saddle. I don't know whose saddle this was or why they had it, but they had a saddle. But it did not have any stirrups on it. Well, and so I thought, well, you know, and so they're like, well, you can ride on if you want, you just don't have any stirrups. And I thought, well, it's better than just sitting here feeling sorry for myself.
Did you feel at that moment like your whole life had been leading up to this decision? The creator of No Stirrup November is thrust upon a no stirrup life changing moment.
Yep. All the No Stirrup Novembers of my life culminating in this epic grand finale. Yeah.
What your training is for, people. Come on. Yep. So you're sitting there faced with this, and what was your thought?
Bring it on. I sort of was like, okay, well, I need to at least be somewhat tactical in the horse that I choose for this. Like, because these are not horses that you want to ride.
Stirrupless.
Stirrupless. Yeah. You need all the stirrups you can get. Yeah. Double stirrups on these horses. So I went out and I had the translator put in a special request for me with the herders that, you know, if there was a horse that was pretty quiet, you know, that's not just going to every time, you know, it sees a little piece, you know, tumbleweed goes across the trail, it's going to like, you know, completely lose its mind. So bless this horse. One of the herders just like smiles his toothless smile and goes and gets this horse and jumps up on it, stands up on its back. The horse is just like not batting an eyelash. I'm like, sold that one, you know. This wonderful little gray horse, I'll never forget him. And got up on there and we just cantered off, and he was great, actually. Even him, like, so it quickly became apparent that trotting was out of the question. There was not going to be any trotting. Trotting was like the death, you know, like.
It's the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst. It was either walk or canter, walk or gallop. And so the rule I made for myself was when we're going up a hill or we're on the flat, we canter. When we're going downhills, we take a walk break. And that's how we did it. That's pretty much how we made it until about 5K from the end of the leg. And you had to keep going, keep up your speed, because if you just try to walk one of those legs, it would take you all day. I mean, at least all day. You might not even make it to the next, you know.
Right.
So about 5K from the next horse station, I've made it this far. It's taken a while. I'm in a lot of pain. There's definitely some chafing happening. I'm still on the trail. And then one of the Mongol Derby vehicles comes rolling up in a cloud of dust, and I'm like, what's going on? And Cozy jumps out, one of the Derby staff, and holds up these large hunks of metal that he says are camel stirrups, which are like, I mean, they're like a million pounds. It's like you could totally bonk someone. It like kill a man if you like bonked someone over the head with them. And some like ratchet strap, orange, you know, like toe.
like you come along
tie down freight like, with. Let's just be
tie yes, down. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, they tie these, strap these onto the saddle. Kind of, I mean, this is the least pony club approved tack decision of mine, you know, and the stirrups are not quite on there straight. And, we made it to the station. I was grateful for their intervention, and everything was great until the next morning when I headed back out, and the stirrups just fell off. I mean, pretty immediately while I was galloping along on the horse that later bucked me off. So,
So, what? How'd you deal with that? The stirrup falls off the saddle, and you're galloping away. Do you go back and get it? Last time you got off, it didn't work out. What did you do?
Oh, you know me. When I like to make the same mistakes at least three times just to make sure, you know, okay. It was the baddest time. So I jumped off and I was fiddling with it, and then again, you know, the Mongol Derby staff comes rolling up, and then they've actually got a pair of legit stirrups this time that they've gotten from one of the gals who
withdrew.
Was done with the race. So yeah. So then I had stirrups again.
Okay. I just had to hear that story again to make it okay with me that you were not participating and I'm can't walk. So I'm okay with it now. I've come to grips with it. Jennifer, are we gonna forgive her? Are we okay with it?
I am okay with it because she really did get an official certificate from a qualified auditor.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep.
And she has really shared her experiences and the wisdom she gained with the equestrian community. So I think it's real. She should be.
Yeah. Here. If you'd seen my inner thighs at the end of this day of my life, then I think that you would not hesitate.
Were they black and blue or just super sore or both?
Just super. Like I got a weird rash. I'll just say that I got a weird rash.
Yeah. Thank you.
I gotta say. So you guys posted, let's see who wrote this article. Kristen wrote this article on Horse Nation where they actually show the photograph, of your, what's the word for this thing? I can't
it's a prescription like right there.
A prescription pad. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So it says to Leslie Weinbrawl Wiley, and this was written August 12th, 2017, given Leslie's participation in the Mongol Derby 2017 and the occurrence of, quote, stirrup gate, she is excused in perpetuity from participating in No Stirrup November. Mm-hmm. Allison Ball, MD, yep. HRN auditor. The fact that we have auditors saved your life, number one, because I wouldn't let it fly. But here in the story again, I'm going to let it go. And then I wanted to just read the paragraph about this in the article Kristen wrote. It says, all due respect to Leslie Wiley, whose no stirrup exploit on the Mongolian steppe is the stuff of complete legend, but I'll never live up to that stratospheric standard. I don't even know someone who could ride a whole day without stirrups. Apparently you do. You know Leslie Wiley. And still have intact reproductive organs and a brain that function reasonably well. So, Leslie, you're the gold standard when it comes to stirrupless conquest. That is true. Whether you wanted to be or not, you are the stirrup goddess. in the world as we know it?
Well, I would say still intact reproductive organs and a brain that functions reasonably well. I'd say those are big question marks over there. But yeah, gold standard. I'll take it.
Have you been checked out by the doctor? Make sure hoo-ha still works.
Nope. Just have to find out. Works well enough. I don't know. It's all right.
Okay, just checking, because I told you what you had to do post Mongol Derby is like the next big thing for you. The only thing you can do, you're already married, you've ridden the Mongol Derby, you got a baby. That's harder than the Mongol Derby.
Oh,
so
for sure.
When you're ready for another challenge. Good Lord. Good job. All right. Well, Leslie, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for reliving the story. Go. I know it's 10:18 in the morning, somewhere in Tennessee, but I feel like retelling that story, you get to have a glass of wine.
Yay. So go. Maybe go later. I'll rain check on that.
You'll put it off an hour or two. Wait till lunch. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Leslie Wiley, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Horsenation.com, eventingnation.com, jumpernation.com. That's all where you can find Leslie Wiley. So thanks, Leslie. Oh my gosh. Are your thighs sore hearing her retell that story?
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'd like to take a breath. I just get super stressed.
I'm getting sympathy pains. You know, when you do a million and one trot sets with your stirrups yanked up four holes higher than you normally have, and you get that big slice of skinless shin.
Yes.
I'm having sympathy pains on my shins right now. They hurt, and there's really nothing there there's no.
I feel like I have nothing to complain about, but I do want you guys to know that I have been jumping PMGJ Magic without stirrups or a saddle, because I found, and am I cheating? Because I feel like riding in my bareback pad, it qualifies as no stirrup.
No stirrups. It's not bareback November. It's no stirrup November.
Okay. So I qualify because I really can't make myself comfortable in my saddle. My hips hurt a little too bad, I think, with the wide thing with the no stirrups. So if I'm wearing the bareback pad, I'm riding Zeus and Magic bareback like the whole month. Is that okay?
That is okay. Yes. Although, okay. How do you ride Precious Magic Gallop Jennings in a bareback pad without sliding right over her neck?
Oh my God, it's hilarious.
How do you do that?
This heifer has learned what grabbing mane is. Unfortunately, she's really slow, but she's still doing the little crow hoppy nonsense when you ask for a canter. Mm-hmm. And I had a new student out there, and I like to, especially the young horses, take them out there and sit on them while I teach. So they learn to like move, turn around, but like have patience. Yeah, so I'm sitting on her and she's riding Duke. So I'm like, go ahead, give him a break. And so I just decide I'm going to get her to canter. This is a new student, doesn't really know the story of the pony. She's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? yeah, I'm fine. We're good. Happens all the time. She thought it was going to really be a big surprise to me that she was crow hopping when I was asking for the canter, but that's okay. So I'll see if I can get a video of riding PMGJ and I started jumping her. She's jumped twice over 12 inches. So she's coming along, and I'll have,
if you put that jump up another 2 inches, she's going to jump higher than Nigel.
I don't want it any higher because again, I am in a bareback pad, but she's so hard to keep going. She's so slow that a couple times I've trotted up to it and it's like the car runs out of gas right before the gas station, you know, like she just comes to a stop and then I make her go over it from a standstill. So she'll be encouraged to go forward. But yeah, it's like really hilarious because bless her heart, I just grab mane and hang on. I put a little strap on my bareback pad too to hold on to in case I'm falling off. Yeah. Go ahead.
The way she jumps, you put people on who want to jump ahead of their horse and get ahead of the motion. You put those riders on horses like Magic.
Magic.
Because
yeah.
You learn real fast. You either get to keep your teeth or you get ahead of the horse. There you go.
Yeah. She just stop. Behind her chasing her the whole time.
You will learn to sit up.
That's a great call. I've got a couple students I could do that to. Well, I know Glenn's off to the doctor, so I'm going to give, let's cut out a couple minutes early. And everybody, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed it. Have a great day, Jennifer. Spay, neuter, and geld. And
send in your voicemails.
Send in your voicemails and have daydreams of Thor shirtless. Go.
There are butts in that movie. You must see it.
I got to see it. Having locker room talk. We're like objectifying men. Big circle.